Welcome, everyone. Just gonna mute everybody. Nice to see some people who haven't been around for a while. Hi, Barbara. Nice to see you. Anybody new? New? Hi, Sabine. Welcome. Hi, Narina. Long time no see. Who else? Tara, are you new? I probably asked you that before, and I don't think, no, you're not. Welcome again. All right. Hi, Leslie. Well, we'll just welcome. Hi, Farad. Welcome. Is it your first time?
Yes, it is.
Welcome.
Hi.
Hi. All right. And it doesn't matter if it's your first time or not. That has absolutely no incidence. But it's just nice to know. And for the new people, we'll just share a guided meditation for about an hour, a little bit less maybe, and then a small break, 1 minute, no, 2 minutes or 3 minutes break. And then we come again for sharing conversation. All right. So if it's comfortable to close your eyes, do, because it just gathers you in to the shrine somehow. The shrine being, I don't know, our heart. The big heart that each one of our hearts makes. The big heart that each one of our hearts make, that's the shrine. You just settle into it. Take as much space as you need. And then make space for the flow of your experience. Or rather, indicate to each one of your experience that there is a lot of space here. A lot of space and not very many conditions. Maybe just one condition, which is welcoming. And it's not a condition that you have to manufacture, it's just inherent to our shared space. So it's a very special space indeed. And you don't have to focus on any experience in particular. In fact, feel that your attention is relaxed. It's like a wide open lens. Or no lens, there's no lens, just openness. Your breath, the bodily sensations, the sound of this voice. The thoughts. They're like the birdies flying by. You're like the sky. And I know that as soon as we adopt this open posture, we encounter quite a lot of resistance because it's not the posture that we habitually adopt out there. So be very kind. Maybe that's another condition in the shrine. It's kindness. And again, I say be very kind, but you don't have to manufacture it. Recognize this kindness. It's as if it was in the air. As if it were, and it is, the make of this space. And therefore, if there is resistance and a narrowing of your attention, a kind of contracting of your attention, it's not a problem. If there's discomfort or negativity or a feeling that you would like things to be different. Or a belief that things should evolve spiritually. It's as if that layer of resistance was laid down in welcoming and kindness. Which means that the layer of resistance, of discomfort, of agitation, of contraction, is given a little bit more space, and then a little bit more. And it's also sort of listened to. It's allowed to tell its story. Until the message has been given, the seed has been planted into that layer of contraction, that it is so welcomed and it is so much part of the family of experience. And then the attention can relax again. You can take a vacation from experience, dive into the openness, become the openness. When I say you can become the openness, It's more like you can recognize that. You already are the openness. And you can sort of indulge yourself in that knowledge, splash around, swim, dive, fly, whatever. Rest. Until your attention is called again to an ailing experience. Usually it's a layer in the body. You don't have to come too close necessarily. You can just send some kind of vibrational, kind, welcome message. It's like you're this sort of vast field and you move a little bit and it sends a ripple of kindness towards that layer. Really, when we come together here, it's so simple. We're not engaging in psychological healing, which is absolutely has its place, but not here. Here, it's more simple. Here, everything is equal. Because it doesn't refer to the past or the story of me, it just refers directly to this kindness, this welcoming presence. There's no exceptions. Everything, every tiny little micro contraction. Every big ticket item, big emotion, whatever. You don't have to manufacture the welcoming. And if there's a feeling of, no, this is not welcomed, this is not feeling welcoming, just be open to the possibility that all around that no feeling, there's a big, silent, rippling yes. So simple. And if the no wants to linger and become louder, it is so welcome too. If the tension wants to morph into more tension and blossom into some kind of fiery emotion that needs to explode out into this space and really check that it's true, that there's unconditional openness for it, then by all means. Now feel your bodies, your body, what we call the body, which in this moment isn't what we think of as the body. Just welcome the dance and flow of sensations, both inside, so-called, but also include the sense of temperature, the touch of the contact of the ground, of the carpet, of your cushion. Just welcome the tactility and sensuality that we refer to as the body, but really our body is not limited to just the inner sensations. Our body is our true body is inside and outside. Anyway, just don't think about it too much. Just welcoming for example, the feeling of weight. Don't have any idea, just the weight of your legs, of your pelvis against the ground. Can you let go of the weight of your pelvis and of your legs? Really let them go, surrender them to gravity. And the same with the arms. Don't see the arms, don't see any of this, just the sensation, the raw sensation, the weight of the arms. Let it go. Long arms flowing down. Long legs flowing into the earth. Weight of your face, your jaw. Weight of your eyelids, your forehead. Don't see, just feel. You go to where I'm pointing and then feel the sensation of weight there and just let it go and give it over to gravity. In this case, gravity is a kind of downward flow of kindness. It's as if you were giving these bodily sensations to a waterfall of kindness. It's warm. Feel your fingers, let your fingers go, let your wrists go. Feel the waterfall pouring down the back of the body. At the same time, feel the front of the body, from the pubic bone, just becoming more alive, as if it were touching the space in front, the pubic bone, the whole surface of the abdomen, and then up the middle torso, the breast, the heart area, your throat, your face. Don't see, just feel. A feeling of touching the space in front at the same time as the legs, the arms, the back body flow down. Don't worry if it becomes a battle, just don't worry. Nothing should be a battle. If it's a battle, you just go to where it's most protesting and you I don't know, bring it kindness. Let your body move a little bit. Just sitting there, eyes closed, just feel the body being moved. There's no right or wrong, and even no doing, it's just happening. Your body is immersed in this warm flow of kindness and it's being moved. Your spine is maybe rounding. Your head is moving. Your shoulders, the breath is free, the breath is merging with the currents of kindness. And then slowly feel the body coming back to stillness, but don't do it. Let it come back to a natural place of stillness, very slowly. In a way, let the body dissolve in you. You're the open field and the body just comes home into you. Let it sort of dissolve into you because you don't live in a body that is fixed. Your true body is this field, your essential body, and then we have this other body that sort of appears and moves and then it can disappear. It's allowed to disappear. Let your body disappear. And again, let the body appear again with the movement, slowly, gently. You have no idea, no preferences about how or where the movement is going. Let the arms, they might float out away from the torso, they're being lifted. Trusting the moment by moment unfolding of movement and breath. Arms are floating away from the torso, but there's no weight, no effort. And if there is weight, if there is effort, you slow it right down and you just place the effort in the field of kindness. Yes, and again, the body coming back to stillness. Don't do it. Let the body come home to you. The arms, the shoulders dropping. The legs, the torso, how does it want to align? Your hands, where do they disappear? How? Your arms, your heart, your throat, your forehead, your eyes. Surrendering the body to this space. Returning the body. Slowly, it's a process. There's no rush. Slowly feel your shoulders floating up towards your shoulders, towards your ears. Don't see it, just feel it. Your forearms completely relaxed, your fingertips dropping to the floor. And then slowly let them dissolve, the shoulders come back down, don't do it. Be the space, you just drink the sensation. In kindness, the drinking is a kindness. Let your arms, your forearms come back down. And now let your spine round itself completely. Make space on your chair. If you're leaning back, come forward so that you can round your spine. If you're sitting on the floor, let your lumbar, middle back, upper back collapse. Your breath is free. No knowledge. What's going to happen next? I don't know. Just welcoming the substance of the body in the moment. Feel your fingertips touching in front of your legs. Fingertips traveling very slowly towards the back body, but very, very slowly. Your fingertips very alive. Feeling the texture of the chair, of the cushion, of the rug. Just pause for a few seconds. Pour your shoulders down through your fingertips into the earth. There's a real intimate connection between the fingers and the earth. It's not a battle, and actually it may be a battle because it's a very habitual thing for the body to battle a hard earth. But just challenging that, and now the fingertips continue to travel towards the back of the body. Very lazy. Push back the cushion or whatever may be in the way so that your fingertips are now resting with your thumbs pointing towards your sacrum, your fingers, the rest of your fingers pointing away from the body, from the back body. And then you just rest the pads of the fingers on the floor so that your hands are sort of at a right angle with your fingers. And really feel the sensation of the hands, the earth, the tension there. Can you feel the earth as if it were the belly of a creature that is your best friend? So there's no desire to hurt this creature. Welcome the difficulty. Just welcome whatever arises. Yes, and now very slowly from the pubic bone, a rising of the torso in front, very slowly. Don't do it. It's like a flame of energy rising from the pubic bone. And now the belly, the middle torso, the breast, the heart area. Feel your shoulder blades coming back, coming towards each other in the back. Your elbows gently, though, not a big me movement. It's a gentle energy so that you can arch the spine between the shoulder blades. Face towards the ceiling. Breath. Long inhale, long outhale, exhale. Yes, and then very slowly everything comes back, the hands traveling back, the spine coming back to alignment. Don't do anything. Just say hello to the layers that are beginning to feel like, okay, nothing's happening here, except that there's a sort of open space, a field of openness. Feel your breath. Feel the wave of the breath, the in-breath. And then the out-breath. Feel the breath like a wave. The in-breath rises up from the pubic bone to the top of the head. The out-breath, a wave that flows downwards from the top of the head to the pubic bone. And as you breathe, you might want to apply the Ujjayi breath if you know it. So like a very light contraction in the back of the throat. And because of the contraction, as you breathe, there's an audible sound, and it's a beautiful sound, and it remains very even throughout the breath. Long inhale, nobody doing it. The rest at the top of the inhale. Long out breath. Rest. Welcome the layers of tension that may also surface with the breathing. There's a big habit of being identified with being the breather. So here, as you commit to this sort of sacred breath, this Ujjayi breath, this even long wave of inhale and exhale, that's the prayer we share. The pathway that we create. And at the same time, we listen for the layers of suffering that may become palpable. Layers of suffering in the form of tension or feelings, and if they surface, if they come out of their hiding place, the loving, the kindness is the not doing anything, not doing anything, letting them be. No spiritual ideas about how things should be. Or if there is such an idea, trace it back into the body to discover a layer of suffering there. And welcome it. Feel your face. Slowly we're going to do some movement of the head and of the face, rolling neck rolls very slowly. Don't have a visual for your face or for your head, so it's just a bundle of sensations, a sort of planet of sensations moving in the field of openness. And instead of feeling that you live inside this bundle of sensation, feel that it lives in you. And that as it moves through this field of openness, it can relax. Nobody doing this movement. It's just a ripple. Smooth, make sure it's ever so smooth. And now the other way. I know that there's layers that are not smooth, and also that there are possibly some restlessness or agitation, or even worse, maybe. And when I say worse, I don't actually believe that word. Worse from the point of view of the judge. But here it's, if there is such layers of restlessness, agitation, negativity, whatever, just gather them into this movement that is happening right now. Invite them to play. Yes, and the head comes back to wherever it comes back to. Don't do it. Slowly. My head's still finding home, which is me. My head loves to take time coming home. Yes, now feel your eyeballs. Have they found home? They may need a bit more letting go. Feel your eyeballs as if you were going right into your eye cavities. First, the left eye cavity. Go in there with your sensing. Take your eyeball, your left eyeball, with your tactile fingers. Pull it out of the eye socket and let it drop right in front of the eye. Try. I promise you, your left eyeball will love a little hanging outside the eye socket. Now the right one, go into the right eye cavity and take. First, maybe weigh your right eyeball, feel its weight. Just try. It's just playful. And now pull it out of the right eye cavity, and it's hanging too. They're both hanging, and meanwhile, you can breathe into your eye cavities. Nice long breath. And your eyeballs are softening. They may also be releasing a lot of tension, so really let that tension be. Don't try to suppress it or to transform it. There's so much tension in our eyes. Say hello. Look, there's lots of space around. You can relax into it. Now put your eyeballs back into the eye socket. Left eyeball into the eye socket. Right eyeball. And now visualize that the eyeballs are like little balloons that just slowly inflate and become soft, inflated. And fill up the whole eye cavity. Long inhale, right into the forehead, into the eyes. With the out breath, sending the tension out into the field. Yes. And it doesn't have to, this is just playful exploration, just little tricks, tantric tricks. to remind us of how things really are. Now feel your torso and just let the torso move. Maybe at first you can trace a circle around the rim of an invisible bowl, your torso, the whole torso. And then let the torso move, maybe the other side, the other way. And then maybe it's beginning to be bored with a circle and it's tracing, writing shapes and letters in space in a mysterious language. And the top of the head is drawing mysterious letters on the ceiling. And now you just see where the movement goes. The hands, the arms may float away from the torso, the body may stand up. The whole body is being used to write a mysterious, unknowable series of signs, a seamless series of signs. Let it happen as if you, and now feel that you are that which is being moved. So you don't have to do anything, you just surrender this, as if you were sort of a made out of stuff that is being moved, and every part of you, every millimeter of you is being moved. Include your head, your hair, your tongue, your face, your fingers, your palms, your shoulders, your standing, if you're standing, your legs, your pelvis, breath. Feel that your feelings and emotions are somehow part of that substance that's been moved and shaped. And if it quickens, it quickens. If it begins, it begins. If the arms are stretching and reaching or gathering, it really doesn't matter. There's no right or wrong here. There's no... there's no idea. It's all coming from within, from energy. Trust the energy that is moving the body. And it might not be a, it might be a sort of unseemly energy. It might not be very spiritual, the movement. It might be a creature that is moving the body, or it might be a feeling that's not been given much space for way too long and finally is allowed to take a bit of this body and shape it. You can ask yourself, who's here right now? And not so much with as a, you know, sort of who's here as a person, but who's here as energy? What kind of energy is here? And really allow it. You might not have a name, but just who's here? And then really allow it, allow it, allow it. It will transform. That's the nature of it. Let it transform. And feel it's not just this personal body, but the earth, the air, the subtle energy. I mean, we don't know really, so just don't have a notion that it's your personal body moving now. It's, you have no idea, no idea. Trust your hands, your belly. Your wild side. that side that is rarely allowed. That side that has nothing to do with reason. Trust that. Trust it. Yes, we're not looking for anything. It's more like a playful expression of freedom. And also it's a renewing of with the intelligence of the body, of movement. An intelligence of creation. So if there's a gesture or movement that is appearing that feels, you could say, like a prayer, just a very simple movement, really trust it, stay with it. Listen to it. Sometimes you might want to pause it and listen more deeply to the energy. You listen to the place that can't move and see if there's a movement there. Never imposing. It's so mysterious, this place. The mind just hates it because it can't figure it out. So if you're grappling with thinking, just almost feel like you move the thinking, let the thinking become a movement. Let God be the mover, not the person. And when I say God, I don't mean necessarily a pretty angelic God. I have no idea what I mean. Just this moment. Yes. Just life. Now slowly let your movement be gathered back into stillness. Discover how that happens, what that means. If you were standing, coming back to sitting. And after the physical body has stopped moving, feel the energy bodies continuing to settle, continuing to dissolve, the weight. Feel that all the articulations of the body continue to empty out. The shoulders, the elbows, the wrists, the articulations of the fingers. Your hips, your knees, your ankles. The vertebrae. Those are just words, really. It's just the words to indicate and encourage the body to take this opportunity to really drink its true substance, which is this openness. To encourage the body to bathe in its true substance of openness. And again, the wave of the in-breath from the pubic bone. The wave of the out-breath from the top of the head down. The pause at the bottom. the next wave comes up. You don't pull it, it just rises out. The pause at the top and the wave that descends. Nobody breathing. You've just created a pathway through the center of the body, an open channel, and the breath just flows in and flows out. No reason to do this. Just kindness. Feel the pores of your body, of your skin opening. So now the breath is more a breath that happens in the space, in the whole space, not just inside the body. Now don't manipulate the breath, don't lengthen it, don't make the ujjayi sound, just let the breath be natural. And taste the feel of silence. Taste the vibration of silence. Give yourself permission to feel this vibration. This field of vibration is free of borders. Really let yourself feel that in this moment, whatever way. Through your tactile sense, through your audition. Sometimes people hear that. This kind of knowing, this knowing of my borderlessness that can actually appear as an echo in my experience. Some people feel it as a feeling of open heart. Or peace. And sometimes we don't feel it. We feel the opposite. We feel bordered and we don't feel open, and that's just fine. So if that's the case, no problem. Don't do anything now. Just we're sharing silence, sharing the vibration, abiding there together. Take 5 minutes and come back. Take your time, go gently. Have a drink. Yes, we'll come back about 5:30. Hi, bye. Oh, welcome back, everybody. So here we have half an hour, and for the newcomers, it's just an opportunity to ask a question if you have a question, or you can share something that you discovered, or if, you know, it's really just open. Just to be mindful, maybe because the time is short, but even that is, don't worry about it. So just wave if you want to say something. Yes, Farad, go ahead and unmute yourself.
Hi, Ellen. I had some energy activations a few years ago. I was doing some intense self-inquiry meditation. And then there was like this rush of vibrant energy through my body that happens once in a while. And with that is a lot of trauma coming up, and the manifestation in the body is like very much of contractions, and usually is in the throat area and the face. And when I do, you know, this type of meditation, is like that, you know, knot is so tense that it draws all my attention. And I was wondering if there is any suggestion that you could make about that.
You use the word trauma.
Yes.
Are you aware of the trauma? I mean, do you know, not, we won't get into it now, but are you aware of what happened? And
yeah, it's mostly like a small T traumas over a long period of time, yeah, rather than shock traumas. But they're, as it goes on, it's been a few years now, sometimes I find the content and, you know what happens, but usually it's like very difficult to find the content as well when it is super intense. I find like I don't find that a space to communicate with the contractions.
Well, just as I think I said during the meditation, that here in these kinds of meditations we don't really get in, we don't get involved with it, with the content, since we're welcoming the layers in the now. In the now, there's no past, so there could be no content. And I really want to emphasize that there's it's very valid to also explore the content for trauma. So I certainly don't think that it's not. But here, if during these meditations, there's a, as you described, a very intense feeling, and in this case you called it trauma, you said, and it's contraction, it's sort of energetic, and I would imagine there's a sort of discomfort with it.
Yes
Yeah, and it's
just, assume these are traumas stored in the body, but they might be wrong,
but it doesn't matter. You see, in our approach here together, we don't really mind trauma, not trauma. It's just that sometimes there's this big layer of intensity. And in your case, you called it trauma. And also you, I think, are telling us that it draws your attention in a very demanding, it sort of, as you give it attention, its intensity becomes more and more and more. So there's no right or wrong way here. I'm not going to have a very precise suggestion. I think really it doesn't matter. Ultimately, we're not interested in the phenomenal displays when we gather here. We're just interested in welcoming. Mm-hmm. because we already know that our true nature is this borderlessness, and we know that everything resolves within it. So the essential attitude towards this kind of phenomena is what Francis Lucille, my teacher, used to call benevolent indifference, which is just let it be. And in fact, don't, when it's too intense, I would recommend bringing your attention elsewhere, trying. You won't succeed because it's really grabbing your attention, but just play with bringing your attention to a place in the body that's more neutral, or bringing your opening your lens, the lens of your attention back towards the openness, or grabbing your kitty cat and petting it. Just like, in other words, don't be seduced by the intensity. That would be one suggestion. At another moment, you let yourself be completely taken by the by this so-called intensity, and just really allow it. So it takes you, but in this case, the you that it takes is not the limited body. You don't know what that you is. You just let this tension in the face, the so-called trauma, let it completely unfold, and you just know nothing about it. You're just completely curious what it is, what area of the body it's touching. Is it pulsating? Is it tight? Is it expanding? You just have, and you have no preference. You have no agenda. You're just giving it your full tactile attention. That would be another direction. Again, not so that it can go away, or no, not so that it can relax. You see what I mean? So these are just explorations. They're like gentle ways of caressing this phenomena and reminding it that ultimately it's surrounded with welcoming.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I'm aware of the Vedantic and the Tantric approach to it. So it was playing with the two at times, yes. Depending on, but yeah. they cannot.
But even all that, don't think about any of that, even in these kinds of meditation. Be just so innocent. Because as soon as we bring these ideas, and they're valid elsewhere, but in the meditation, okay, if you tell yourself, I'm now doing the Tantric approach, or now I'm doing the, then you're inevitably, you sort of have too many ideas at that moment. So here we're really, really trying to become stupid in a way, very innocent, free of any beliefs, any, just with the we just have one sort of idea, which is that there's welcoming, there's a sense of welcoming, or at least there's the possibility of welcoming. And that it's not something I do, it's something that is inherent to what I am.
When I want like to direct my attention to another part of the body, and that, you know, intense knot is calling the attention, is letting it have the attention, I believe, right? Not to fight it.
Yes. Definitely let it be. You don't need to give it special attention. You can. But again, always in the name of exploration, not in the name of getting rid of it. So you can give it attention, but also you can sort of not give it any special attention, but you're not resisting it. And that's, you know, that's easy to say, but when you're sort of putting that into action, it's a whole exploration, because the habit of resisting is very, very layered and subtle. So even just that, to really explore this not resisting, it can spend a lifetime, because resisting is what the separate self is. That's what we're made of, you know. I mean, as a separate self, of course it doesn't really exist, a separate self, but what it feels, if we were to analyze its composition, if we were to think it is real, we would see that it's made of layer upon layer of resistance, of defense, of assert, you know. So for you to really take the time to, I don't know, to explore that possibility of no resistance, which will inevitably allow you to touch the resistance. And then what is the resistance? The resistance to this, but this itself is a resistance, etc., etc.
Thank you.
You're very welcome, Farah. Thank you for coming.
Thanks.
Let me go back to gallery mode so I could see if anybody has. Yes, Sue, go ahead, Susan.
I just love it when you say, you tell us what to do, and then you say, don't do it, don't do it. Just like, and I was noticing how many times you guide us that way. And every time I did, I went, this is just so profound. It's just, don't do it. Like just that idea of, I guess you just, I mean, I know what you're saying, but just.
Well, it's true, because we are doing something here together, but actually, right. if you really think about it, we are not as separate selves doing anything, you know. So, but because we have such a habit of thinking we are doing it, and we also have such a habit of feeling we are doing it, I guess then that's why I say, you know,
yeah,
do this, but don't do it. It's like. I guess the one who's doing it, when I say do this, I'm speaking to our true self.
Yes.
And out of the freedom of, you know, sort of the freedom to do, out of that sort of non-separate place. And then the one I'm saying don't do it to is the separate self, who doesn't exist, but I'm saying don't do it so that you become aware of that habit of being the doer, which is just a sensation or a layering of sensation with maybe a thought, like I'm gonna do this really well, I'm gonna master the art of not doing, you know, all of that will be a doing, and you'll just catch it. Mm-hmm. It's not a crime, it's not a sin. We won't have to like recite 10 Hail Marys and mm-hmm. because it's actually like in a way a victory when we catch that habit of doing. It's just a moment where we understand, all there is to that feeling of being a doer is just this.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, it seems innocuous and easy to catch, and yet, you know, it's so layered out there when we're out there in our lives. Because it's married to many habits of thinking and referring to the past and projecting in the future, and it becomes this very convoluted, complex locus of seeming operation. Anyway.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. Go ahead, Barbara.
Hi, Helen. How are you? It's wonderful to be back after so many, a long time. And yeah, I just wanted to say that. And especially I love when you say there's no history, there's no past. And yeah, I came to understand that it's so true. And it's just, once you really understand it, it's just so liberating. Another thing I wanted to say, I love the slow movement. There's something about moving really slowly.
Yes.
It does.
Ooh, all fuzzy. Sorry, yeah, my camera's like not.
Yes, you're fine.
Oh, well, doesn't matter.
Yeah, I wasn't sure it was my computer. Yeah, I was just saying this movement. When you move the body really slowly, it feels like it's coming from somewhere very deep.
Yes.
I don't know, it's so amazing. And it's, I don't know how to explain, but yeah, I just want to say I miss this a lot. And I'm very happy I came back today.
Well, it's nice to see you, Barbara. And sorry about the I just want to say, when you said that you can understand about no past, no future, I think it's important to say that now, you know, it's also okay to value this idea of a past and a future, and give it its due respect, because it's creation. You know, in order for creation to be, there's time and space, and if there's time and space, then Ellen and Barbara has a past, and we were little, and all of that is very valid, very valid. But it's true that when we gather in the shrine, we really are sort of, we are just referring to the now, and it's another paradox in a way, because in a funny way, as Barbara and Ellen and Susan, and we live on those two. We are the wave that has a beginning and a middle and an end, and we are the ocean, which is ever present, and so we have to really honor those two modes. And I think maybe it's connected with moving very slowly, because moving very slowly is both an intimate connection with movement, and at the very same time with that which never moves. So it's when we slow it down, it's almost like we really can touch that connection between the wave and the ocean.
And I think also the past and future, you said, obviously there is an importance, they're valid, but I think that when you are in this space, in this shrine, it feels like they're diluted into the, it's just diluted, so you can't really grab on to any, you know, event.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's not that they lose value, it's just that
It's a nice break from...
It's a different perspective to... Like when you go through on the top of the mountain and don't see the people on this, and the down there, they're still there and they're important, but you're just seeing a different perspective. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara. Nice to hear your voice again.
You too. Thank you.
Well, it's tradition that we end with Corinne Coco, and here she is today. So it's such a nice to see you, Coco. Whenever you feel moved, yeah.
Hi! I'm so happy to see everyone and be back. As is often the case, I had one poem that I was going to share, but you made it morph into something different. And it's because of your abundant and generous and kind use of the word kindness. And it made me remember Naomi Shihab, I think that's how you say it. Naomi Shihab Nye, her poem Kindness, which I imagine most people know. But in it, she says, in order to know what kindness really is, you must first
listen. Wait, Corinne, because we can't hear you. I think because you're, yeah.
Oh, sorry.
No, we could hear you up till then, but then you faded. Go ahead.
Well, Naomi.
You're jumping up and down because you're so excited.
Naomi. Nye's poem Kindness.
Yeah.
Well, in it she says, in order to know what kindness really is you must first lose things. And I thought, you know, even the word kind, it also means, yes, it means being loving and generous, and I feel open, but also it means like, you know, of the same nature. And I think, like, consider how when we lose things, sometimes our a tendency is to become defended and to become closed. And that's really, I was thinking this morning, where cruelty comes from, is to see oneself as different and needing to defend and set something up, you know, to protect ourselves. So that's the, you know, it's the choice to open in the face of hurt and loss, or to defend. And so really, I mean, so kindness. So anyway, so this poem, it's called The Magdalene's Blessing for Each Day. And I think it, okay. The Magdalene's Blessing for Easter Day, and it's by Jan Richardson. You hardly imagined standing here. Everything you ever loved suddenly returned to you, looking you in the eye and calling your name. And now you do not know how to abide this hole in the center of your chest, where a door slams shut and swings open at the same time, turning on the hinge of your aching and hopeful heart. I tell you, this is not a banishment from the garden. This is an invitation, a choice, a threshold, a gate. This is your life calling to you from a place you could never have dreamed. Now that you have glimpsed its edge, you cannot imagine choosing any other way. So let the tears come as anointing, as consecration, and then let them go. Let this blessing gather itself around you. Let it give you what you will need for this journey. You will not remember the words. They do not matter. All you need to remember is how it sounded when you stood in the place of death and heard the living call your name.
Thank you, Coco.
Thank you. There is one that kind of goes with it.
Go for it.
It doesn't have a title, but it's from Gregory Orr. If to say it once and once only, then still to say yes, and say it complete. Say it as if the word filled the whole moment with its absolute saying. Later for but, later for if. Now, only the single syllable that is the beloved, that is the world.
That's wonderful.
Yes.
Where do you go? How do you find these poems? I'm like, I just...
No, they find me, and because of what you share, because of being here together, they come forth and they say, this one, me.
Thank you so much, Corinne, such a joy. And thank you, everyone. Feel free to unmute yourselves. Timo, are you going to say something? Well, anyway, everybody
I had a small question.
Do, yeah,
what
yeah.
What was the name of the first poem?
The name of the first poem was The Magdalene's Blessing.
And I'll include it with the recording. I'll include the Corinth poems and the title.
Okay, wonderful.
I guess it refers to Magdalene on the day that Christ rises.
Yes, I imagine, I mean, maybe some people know the story of resurrection and Jesus, the crucifixion and the resurrection and the whole story of Easter, but that Mary Magdalene was there. You know, she was the first one to see. And well, I think it's you'll like to read it maybe.
Timo, yeah.
Yeah, it's the line that really caught my ear was, this is not the fall from the garden. Because it actually came up earlier today leading up to this and during the movement as well, this attachment to being the one who made a mistake, mm-hmm. or and being the one who is making a mistake and who might make a mistake. Mm-hmm. And with the slightest thing feeling that something was lost, and realizing that there's actually a golden opportunity in those moments. That's that was all captured in that one line. That's beautiful.
Perfect.
Yeah, perfect.
Thank you.
Thank you, Timo. Thank you, everyone, for the depth and sort of heartful sharing. And you know, it's what we say and the poems Corinne reads, and then it's sort of what we feel between the words or what we share, that there's a lot of depth there. We could unpack it, and we don't have time, but that's fine because we feel it. And I think there's a line about that too. Anyway, see you next week, maybe. Feel free to unmute yourself to say goodbye.
Thanks, bye, Nalina.
Thank you.
Bye, Ellen.
Thanks,
Ellen.
Bye, Ellen. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank
bye.
You, Ellen.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, Prince.
Thank you. Bye,
Hilka. Bye, Hilka.
Bye,
Ellen.
Bye-bye, Ben. Bye. Bye, Carlo.
Bye, Maria. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, Timo.
Bye-bye. See
bye,
ya.
Ben. Bye. Bye, Maria Luca.
Bye, Maria Luca.
Bye, Maria Rosa.
Ciao.
Ciao.